Now establishing data link. Accessing.
The Lou Trek Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Did you know the Tech Podcast Network was home of the best tech podcasts like Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show at miketechshow.com and Byron Brown of Byron Brown Tech and Stuff, The Blur, Binary, and now the road of I and We with co-host Benjamin Strong. Oof-da. Please check him out at bbtas.com and tell him the Lou Trek Show sent you. Why? Because he loves you.
And the white line's getting longer, and the saddle's getting colder. Not much too young to be this damn old. All the cards are on the table, with no ace left in the hole. Not much too young.
I'm your resident Ferengi, coming to you live from the FCA. Liquidator Lou Costanzo.
Kapla from Kronos. This is the Harmaster Brian Edelmanor.
I am your resident Nubatrek, coming to you live from the BBTAS studios. Usabla.
Welcome to the Lou Trek Show. You're listening to show number 92 for Thursday, March 17, 2011. Happy birthday to myself.
And the white line's getting longer, and the saddle's getting colder. Not much too young to be this damn old. All the cards are on the table, with no ace left in the hole. Not much too young to be this damn old. Lord, I'm much too young to be this damn old.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. I'm your host, Lou. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to tonight's show. Our main website is www.bbtas.com, and there you'll find a drop-down link to awesome shows. And the second one down, you'll see the awesome Lou Trek Show. Now, of course, that's not really our main website, but that's a website you must check out. Whose hands are those? You must check out that website, bbtas.com, for the Lou Trek Show, to end up where we are on this man's website is frickin' phenomenal, and it's something that we're going to have to talk about. Okay, our main webpage is really www.loutrekshow.com, and there you'll find a tab called Social. And all you got to do is click on that, and you'll find all the ways to contact the show, whether it be by Skype or by Twitter, Facebook. MySpace I got rid of, actually. I think MySpace is probably dying a bitter and timely death. And, of course, we are a member of the Tech Podcast, and we're on Blueberry as well. And forgive me, my phone is going crazy. Today is my birthday. Happy birthday to me. And I'm going to suggest, people out there, if you have Facebook going to your cell phone on a text message, so whenever something is put on your wall and it goes to your cell phone as a text, I'd say about a day or two before your birthday, can it. Stop the text, because this thing has been blazing all day long for happy birthday. And I love it, but I would rather have not done that. So, okay, Brian is my co-host, and he is waiting in the wings. Brian, say happy birthday in Klingon.
There's no such thing as happy birthday in Klingon.
Well, can we make
in Klingon something? In Klingon, your birthday is called the Rite of Ascension, and you walk through the line of warriors with pain sticks.
Not the pain sticks.
Shell out your warrior's heart as you get shot.
Not the pain sticks. Anything, please, no.
Kapla, and I welcome everybody to the Lou Trek Show.
Yes, and we are, crazy as this may sound, we are live. And so I want to say hello to the people who are in this right now. We're talking about Lou Trek Show. Who's he? Must be some handsome devil. Byer Brown Pro. Of course, that is Byer Brown of BBTAS.com. LaForge129, me, Claudius, and Nebin. Thank you very much for coming to the live show. So why are we doing a live show? Brian, maybe you know, but we have a guest tonight.
Oh, we do? Well, I wonder who. Let me get the tricorder up and see if I can scan him.
Well, don't tell who he is because I want to properly introduce him. Are you ready?
You hear me scanning?
Oh, my goodness. He's actually got it.
Oh, no.
Yes.
The tricorder's telling me something bad.
Wait a minute. Shouldn't
but
be
it's good.
But it's good. He's so bad.
Yes. It's showing large quantities of dark matter.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
You know, I got an email from a good friend of mine who said, I want to come on the show. So I figured, you know, let's introduce him properly.
And now, back for a third time to further our bromance. The Lou Truck Show is proud to present tonight's guest. BBTAS Studios in sunny Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Okay, it's probably dark right now. Mr. Byer Brown.
Oh! You know, I couldn't go on any further than there because it would have sounded really bad. Byer, how are you doing?
What can I say? Hello. It is so good to be here. Your intros are the best.
Yeah.
La creme of the la creme.
You know,
it was so bad there for a minute. I had to mute because the minute he played that reunited, I started losing it. And I muted it. I'm sitting here coughing, and my sweetie pie is sitting on the couch listening to my part of the show tonight, and she was wondering why I was sitting there begging for oxygen.
I was doing the same thing. I'm sitting here just cracking up.
That's Ben.
That is just awesome. Absolutely awesome. You have the best intros ever.
Yeah, I try my best. And I said Nebin, I wasn't thinking that's Ben Straw. So, and it's terrific to have Ben in the chat with us tonight.
Most certainly.
I'm trying to hurry up and text Mark Williams of Starfleet Command. Wanted to know if we were doing our show live tonight because he wanted to get into the chat too. So I'm trying to hurry up and text him real quick, tell him, yes, it's live, Mark, get on.
Right, and he can just go to the main website, or there's a link there I just put in the chat as well for you. But just tell him go to the main website, lewtruckshow.com, and he'll see a link. Now, so, Byer, you said you wanted to come on, but
yes,
you didn't tell me why, and that made it more fun. So what's on your mind, boy?
Well, just a couple things. I just wanted to hang out with the crew and have a good time here. Also, I wanted to give you a nice organic happy birthday as well. So what I have right now, I have to call upon the young ones. Hold on. It is time for your organic birthday singing. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ready.
Woo! One.
Ready.
Two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lou Track. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Oh, man. Right. That was awesome. The Byer Brown clan getting together. That made my day. That made my day. Oh, thank you so much, folks. You want to say who they were?
Well, that was Heaven singing there. That was also Kara and Christina, as well as Little Nikki.
Oh, okay, that was sweet. Thank you very much. And
they all wanted to come and make sure that they sang Happy Birthday on this show. I said, hey, you're going to go check out this and make a nice birthday wish. Send it out to Lou Trek.
Yeah, that is so sweet. Well, yeah, you know, while we're talking here, I was going to start looking for what I did a while back. Remember that? The bad Byer Brown?
Oh, man.
Oh, I wish I could.
One of your many funny creations that has brought me much laughter.
Hey, you know, while we're talking, see if you could find that, because I may be able to scour Google Mail for it, because I'll tell you one thing that I learned, tech thing. Don't put what I did is I took my main C drive and partitioned it into two drives, right?
Oh,
and
okay.
And I thought, well, let's get everything that isn't expendable off of the C drive and put it on the D drive. Well, what was okay. I thinking? When the C drive went bad, the D drive went bad.
Ah, because it was all on one drive.
It's all on one drive, only yeah. two different partitions. I can't believe I didn't think that, but...
Well, a lot of us made that. I've made that mistake before, and you know, wasn't thinking. I was like, "Oh, wait a minute, the whole thing went bad." Yeah, you got to do that onto a whole separate drive.
Right.
Yep.
And so I had actually lost all of the shows, which I was able to download from Carbonite.
Mm.
So anyway,
yeah, I remember after that crash, you can't. Actually, it wasn't too bad because you came back and you just went fresh with a lot of different things, mm-hmm. and actually, it made a few things even clearer.
Right. You're right. It did.
A few things clear. I hate the fact that you lost the things from the past, but it gave you a chance to redo some things, and you did it even better.
Yeah. So, you're right. So, Brian, what's new with you?
Not much. Just basically working. Working on, I gotta get the club newsletter done, and then I gotta get... stuff prepped for our next project. We're going down to Star Trek exhibit in Louisville, Kentucky on the 2nd of April. And then I'm going to go and help El Troubadour at the Indianapolis Children's Museum on the 26th. I'm going to come in and actually walk in as a guest, pay patron. And I'm going to walk over and I'm going to stand around with them and help promote their, help promote the Klingons. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to bowl and beat Starfleet Command's keisters all over the place. just because I don't like the captain. So I'm going to go in and take all of his, the crew of the Gorkon's going in, going to take all of his prizes and take all the places on the bowling tournament and just kick him off. Then we're going to drop 200 cans of food to his worthy cause and dare him to match it, because last year he didn't bring no canned food to ours. So we're going to goad him this year.
Now, do you guys go in full dress?
Yeah, I do.
Because I really like that when you see the pictures of a whole bunch of Klingons and the Vulcans and everybody, they get together in full dress. I think that's pretty cool.
Well, we're going to be floating around Dragon Con this year. So I'll make sure that we have still pictures of me. I haven't found a Ferengi head yet for the resident Ferengi liquidator, but as soon as I find one, I'm going to make sure Mr. Lou has one.
Now, Lou, do you go dressed?
No.
Not yet,
never dressed
anyway.
Completely?
No.
Oh, we got to get him dressed up, huh?
I've been to three conventions in my life. But you know what I almost did since you said the resident Ferengi? I almost threw a curveball and played this. I'm your resident Bajoran, coming to you live from the Celestial Temple, Vedic Lou Costanzo. But I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. Hey, you want to hear a promo? Let's see if Bio remembers this one.
Let me see. Lou told me to stand right here on this machine, and he would meet up with me here. And this is tingly. what? Intruder. I'm not an intruder. My name is Byer Brown. I'm here to see Lou Trek. Do you know where Lou's at?
The mystery. And I don't like mysteries. Give me a bellyache, and I got a beauty right now.
Well, I'm really sorry about you not liking mysteries in your stomach. Maybe a little bit of Pepto-Bismol, but I need to see Lou.
Fascinating.
Yeah, he is kind of cool, but fascinating. Listen, my name is Byer Brown from BBTAS.com, and I'm here to support Lou Trek from The Lou Trek Show, who was down at the Trek Fest 2010. Yo, Lou, we can't wait till you get back home. Somebody need to do something with that dude's ears.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, man. I remember when you're on your way down there. I think mm-hmm. they had a little bit of problems with the Wi-Fi that day.
No, we didn't have any problems with Wi-Fi. We had a problem with the
with the way they set us up when we got the track.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we wanted to play that along with the show, but we were putting in the back of a room in the closet. We were in the closet, and in front of us was a whole group of people, and then in front of them was Walter Koenig doing his question and answer. And, I mean, they literally put chairs directly right in front of us, and we were like, "So, Brian, what do you think of the convention?" And Brian's like, "I think it's okay, Lou. It's kind of, they got people right in front of us." You know, I mean, and we've had people looking back at us like, you know, "Shut the hell up." And we're like, "Sorry."
What happened was is they made last-minute changes to whatever they were going to do, and we got put in where the sound guy was.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we weren't there to interview the stars or record what they were doing. We were there to get the fans to come check out our show.
Yeah.
And Lou got all set up and everything for it, and I was at the where the parade was and the festivities was up. I was dressed up as a clown. By the way, I got burned as a lobster, too. Almost had heat stroke on top of everything else. Had to help another girl who did get heat stroke. I didn't win the costume contest. Pissed Walter off.
Oh, yeah.
I was just having one of them good days overall.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen – I was a fan of Walter, but after I saw him looking at Brian – I'm telling you, I got very upset. We were, we had been advertising get Walter his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and he looked at Brian with such a disdain look.
Really?
He was like, "You freak of nature, why are you standing in front of me?"
Oh, see, that doesn't fly at all. I cannot stand when stars act that way. That wasn't cool whatsoever.
No.
Lou, you didn't get a chance to see William Shatner's raw nerve, have you?
No, it's on DVR. Don't say any more. You're right.
I'm not going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to tell you that when we saw Walter back last year, we thought he looked bad.
Oh, yeah.
He's worse. Trust me. When you see him tonight, you're going to freak.
Mm.
Right. Yeah.
Part of what happened was when he came to Track Fest, he had just lost his son to suicide. A month before that?
Yeah.
Or 6 weeks before that? Yeah. And on top of everything else, there was some controversy about what he was supposed to be doing there at the at the thing. He wasn't even supposed to be doing the costume contest or anything.
Oh.
And there was a lot of... He made it perfectly clear he's never coming back to Track Fest.
Hmm.
Okay, that's how bad they pissed him off. And James Olsen was telling me all the stuff that went on. He quit. He quit the organization that was working on it.
Mm.
So it's gotten bad over there. And I told James I'm not bringing the Lou Track Show back over there until everything gets straightened up, because I'm not going to get caught in the middle of all that.
Yeah, certainly.
So I'm not even going to Track Fest anymore.
No, I don't think we are. No, that has to be. I mean, they have to definitely redo that. They told us don't be there till noon. You can't get in till noon. We got there at noon, and half the audience was already sitting there waiting for the show.
Well, hopefully they'll be able to revamp, and you know, maybe you guys will be able to get in there and do it the way it was supposed to be done.
It's not a matter of getting in. We can get in anytime we want.
Yeah,
I mean, all I have to do is put my name to Fred, and Fred will have us in.
Right.
James was one of the original people who helped make it a success, and they basically turned his back on him. So
it's just this, poor management all the way around, or?
Yeah, it's getting poorer and poorer every year. So I have just basically, when we feel like it's good to come back, we'll come back. Now, I have been asked to come back just because I'm a Klingon. But we're not, because I got Dragon Con coming up. We have In Conjunction that I have to attend because I'm probably going to be the new Starbase 6 commander for Starfleet Command. That was my other good news today. I applied for the position of Starbase 6. I'm one of the probably top three front runners for the position. I won't know until sometime in April. But if I am Starbase 6, then I got to go to the July convention at In Conjunction, and then I have to go to Starbase India, unfortunately, for the fleet meeting, the year-end fleet meeting, and the award ceremony. So,
well,
with that and Dragon Con, I just
busy.
Gonna be a busy SOB. Busy. Now that's not doing anything but the Dragon Con with the Lou Trek Show.
Yeah. That's the one we're focusing on.
That's the only one we're doing with the Lou Trek Show this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless I can get us a good spot in at the one in Chicago in October. That would be the only other exception that we might make an exception for to go to. The big one up in Chicago, I can't think what it is.
That would be nice to hit Chicago. Ben Strahl's up there as well. He's right over there near Chicago.
That'd be nice to meet him there, then.
Yeah.
Ben's there, and Brian from Fan Central is at in and around the area, too, so we could get...
Uh-oh, sounds like a podcast meetup.
A major podcast meetup, and just do tech and track both at the same time.
That's right, because you can't have tech without Trek.
That's a fact.
I'm sure you can. You just can't have Trek without tech.
There you go. Now, you know what? I have some important questions that need to be answered.
Oh.
All right. I came prepared. I need some answers. I was listening to another podcast not too long ago, just the other day, matter of fact, Sci-Fi Talk. And they were talking about some problems that they had with Star Trek. And I was really hoping, did you see when I sent that message over there to you, Lou?
No.
About coming over to check out, they were talking Trek?
Oh, and I missed it.
You missed it? Well, one of the things that they were saying, and I could have sworn, since I sit here and I listened to the Lou Trek Show, I could have sworn that I learned that there is a diversity in Klingons. Is that not right? Isn't there a difference between... The ridges in the head and everything?
Take it away, Brian.
Yeah, there is diversity. Like in the sentient being, there's diversity in the human race. I mean, there's also diversity in the Klingon ridges and the Klingon skin color, too. I mean, look at Chancellor Gorkon. He was white.
Exactly. So they wasn't there a smooth head Klingon as well?
What happened was that they tried to do what they did with Bashir and make a genetically altered Klingon with smooth head so they could spy and integrate more into the human race to spy on them and actually undermine the authority in the Federation area. That's where the original Kang, Kor, and Korloff came from. They were the smooth head, or what they call I can't think of the Klingon name for them. But they're the smooth heads, the original TOS. And yes, there are actually smooth heads Imperial Klingons out there. They'll wear the Imperial Klingon uniform, but they'll be smooth head. And they're proud of this smooth head, and they'll walk up and challenge you just like if they had the ridges ready to bock you in the head at the same time. I mean, there's...
Now, what about the Vulcans and the Romulans?
Well, they're actually the same race.
Because they're related in the sense...
They are, in fact, Vulcans and Romulans are the same race. One branch of the Vulcans, when the Vulcan logic started becoming mainstay, some of the original Vulcans did not like purging it. They like keeping their emotions. And part of them were also xenophobic. So when they left and went out into space and found Romulus, they basically kept what they had originally in their branch of their it'd be like taking Asians and them going out in their own little world and basically building their own empire and then coming back into mainstream with the rest of the other races out there.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying?
So they are of the same race.
Yeah, they are the same race. They're the same green skin. I mean, green-blooded. The only difference is that Vulcans will do their best to purge their emotions because they know how strong they are and embrace logic or try to embrace the philosophy of logic and wisdom, where the Romulans will keep their emotions but are just as intelligent and, in fact, more devious than any other races out there in Star Trek. In the way the races were set up by all the movies and stuff, they're the most devious race out there. I mean, they'll do anything. And they have so many infights within their Senate of power switches. There could be, well, a good example was Nemesis. One faction tried to clone Picard and then turn around and had to get rid of him because the new faction didn't want to go through with it.
What about,
because they have a lot of emotion.
What about the... Now, you were saying that they're definitely devious. What about the Borg?
Now, the Borg, that's... What's the best way to describe the Borg? This is what happens when you interlink a bunch of minds and have two or three, maybe four minds actually controlling all of them, and you basically remove stuff like emotion and just become automatons. Basically, you've got Borg, what we call Borg, which is bionic or cybernetic implants built into the people, and then they take mental orders, which a transmitter is on them somewhere, usually on their left hand. And then they combine all their thoughts into one collectiveness. And then the Borg queens are the one who micromanages all that collectiveness.
So
then they reach down to each Borg commander in charge of each cube, each spear, each whatever it is, plus the individual bases on top of it.
So
that's how they adapt and become stronger, is because they absorb races and their abilities and their technology, and they incorporate it into themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's sort of like with their collective mind power, what, they would be a multi-processor mainframe type deal?
Yeah, basically, that would probably be the best way to describe
right.
it.
Right. I guess you could call them network attached storage devices, too.
Yeah. That's how it sounded to me. As I'm thinking, wow, okay, so they're multiprocessor. They got a mainframe going on. Mm-hmm. That's pretty all right.
But you can see what happens when they're disconnected from the collective. They'll start reverting back to whatever their human... If they had personalities and traits before they were Borg, like you capture a Klingon warrior from one of the warships and you Borgify him, and then he's lost from the collective, he'll revert back to what he knew before he was a Borg.
Now, is that what happened with Picard? Now, he became a Borg at one point, right?
Well, he became a Borg, and then when Data and him were linked up, he told Data how to bypass the security system to get the Borgs to quit attacking. They basically go into sleep mode, go into repair mode. So when it did that, the Borg just basically shut down.
He blue screened them up.
Yeah. Because he was the central processor for that Borg cube. If you think about it for a minute, they had converted him to be Locutus of Borg. On that Borg cube, he was the central processor. Even though each of the other individual components on the ship could work without him being there, and they did quite well, he told Data how to bypass all the security to make the Borg cube stop.
How to get past Kerberos.
Yeah. So, that's a perfect example of how you could define the Borg, a big mainframe.
Now, my next question,
or the internet.
Next question coming down the pipe has to be answered tactically between Picard and Kirk. Who is a better tactical officer?
tactically.
Honestly, truthfully, I would say Picard.
Yeah, tactical and diplomatically. Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I was thinking tactical and diplomatically would obviously be Picard. Now, if there was a show out called The Captains of Starfleet recently, and they did a comparison of how many times Kirk got in fistfights and how many times Picard got in fistfights. And when it comes down to fighting, Kirk has it all.
I would think that, too.
I disagree. Well, it's close because Picard beat up 3 Narsekins and Kirk only beat up 1 Gorn. So that's a mismatch all in itself, okay? But tactically, yeah, I think Picard was tactically the better captain. But you got to look at the eras where Picard and Kirk were at. Kirk had to really fly by the seat of his pants, okay? Where Picard had got a chance to look at what Kirk did and all the other captains did, so he had a chance to learn from their mistakes and improve.
Yeah, well, he was standing on the shoulders of giants from the people before him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you very much so. But yes, you also have to take into account something else. Who did Kirk learn off of?
See, I always thought of Kirk.
Pike and Archer.
Mm-hmm. Archer, if anyone was, I would say, would be tactically the superior, Archer would have to be the first one on my list because Archer literally did run on the seat of his pants in a lot of things. And he did make some blunders, but he managed to still keep Enterprise going despite his blunders. And same thing with Captain Kirk. I mean, you could say it was the difference from... Take Archer as being Columbus and take Kirk as Lewis and Clark and then take Picard as the first man to the moon. Mm. They learned from the experiences of the prior, and that's how they got better. Sisko was even better because not only did he learn what Picard learned, but he also got to see some of the stuff Picard actually did, like the Picard maneuver that got him captaincy in the first place. And same way with Janeway. But
what about the beginnings of Star Trek? Did they ever show, like, the first Enterprise being built and then launched?
No.
Or I'm assuming it would have been built in space, though. I don't think they would have launched that from...
Well, the last movie actually showed it being built on planet. Was built
it
right
did?
There in Iowa. Yeah.
Hey, did I miss that?
Yeah.
The very last movie?
Yeah, the very last movie when he rode up on the, when he was riding up, when he was watching it as a kid and you see the shipyard and everything, they were building another Enterprise there, but most of the stuff was being built up right there in Iowa.
Oh, I must have missed that part.
Yeah, you can see him building the ship right there in the background when he's riding his motorcycle right up there.
Yeah. Yep. It was sitting on the ground. I couldn't believe it.
I totally missed. I do not remember seeing that. I'm going to watch that tonight.
Yeah, when he's riding up on that wild motorcycle of his, you can see in the background where they're building the Enterprise. Actually, I think it was the Enterprise they were finishing up there.
Well, hey, here, let's... Byers, you're still in the chat, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. This might be better.
Okay.
No.
What is your name?
My name is James Tiberius Kirk.
You've always had a hard time finding your place in this world, haven't you? Never knowing your true worth. You can settle for a less than ordinary life.
It's in the shipyard. He's on his motorcycle, and it's on the ground. It just seems so odd that they would have had the ship sitting on the ground.
That, how would they lift it off?
Obviously stabilize it. Well, it can probably just...
The way they would do it is the same way Voyager landed and took off from space. They would have had to put the warp core together, had the thrusters build up, and have the shields done. And then they would lift it off using the thrusters to get it off the ground, and then slowly use the impulse engines to slowly move itself out into outer space. They literally would have had to put the whole ship together and the skin on it just to get it out of space.
Okay. Well, I guess considering that they're using, technology that we don't have access to right now, I could see that. Mm-hmm.
It's the same way Voyager lands on a planet. Okay, right. It slowly descends through the atmosphere and slowly lands itself on its landing gear onto the planet. Okay, in the same way it thrusts off, it uses its thrusters to thrust itself up so it tilts up at an angle. Mm-hmm. And then the regular impulse engines are used to push it up and through the atmosphere until they get out of the atmosphere. And then after that, they can warp out. Same thing with how that Enterprise would probably have been launched. They would have gotten it all together, tested the warp drives there on the planet to make sure that they were at least functional, and then make sure the thrusters are all working on it. And then what they would have done, they would have used the impulse engines, make sure they were working, make sure the thrusters are working, make sure the warp engines, so they have the extra power for the thrusters to move up. They would have used the thrusters to lift it up, then they would have tilted it up towards where they wanted to head to, and then they would use the impulse engines supplemented with the warp drive to move it out of the atmosphere. And then when it's out in the atmosphere, then they would have probably flown it to the star base that was out there in space where all the other ships were, and probably finished some of the stuff there at the star base.
Right, right. I wonder what would happen if you hit the warp drive while you were on a planet.
That one I'll have to look up, but I think that the thrust devastation would be like, you know how if you go faster than supersonic speed at a low altitude, like really close to the water, and you get that after thrust behind it?
Mm-hmm.
And ships, and occasionally the Air Force will use it as a way to threaten somebody. They'll do a supersonic fly by a ship. It won't hurt the ship, but it'll rock it like crazy.
Right.
Same thing. Think about the warp drive doing that. Think about a supersonic flyby at about 1.5 million times stronger.
Yeah.
On a planet.
On a planet.
Okay. Is there anything else, Byer, or do you want to get some more?
Oh no, that was you did very well. Thank you. I feel enlightened.
It was nice to pull some of my engineering skills out for
once. Yeah, and you know, Brian, you weren't in the you're not in the chat, Brian, so you don't know what I've been doing here since you've been talking. I went to Memory Alpha, and each phase of the way, when Byer was asking questions, we were kind of fact checking you, like with the Romulans and everything you said was spot on.
Dead on. I was sitting there watching it.
Yep, that was great. So, how about if we do some news from the future? You guys game?
Let's roll.
All right, and you guys can both comment on these news stories as I read them. And the last one, however, you won't be able to comment on, and I'm not going to say anymore. So if you're ready, let's roll.
Rock and roll, baby.
And now, the Lou Trek Show is proud to present news from the future. Just because we ain't there yet doesn't mean it didn't happen.
46 Ferengi men are under arrest tonight in what the FCA call a Umox for Latinum ring. Ferengi police used undercover female Ferengi to draw out the group. The undercover officers had a hard time concealing weapons and surveillance equipment while still being unclothed as by Ferengi tradition. The 46 will be ringed tomorrow.
Oh my god.
Comments?
The thought of that is
more, I'm hoping that
more than I can handle. That's like walking into the triple hole. It's like
okay, well, let's go on to the next one. Complications arose in the pregnancy of Captain Catherine Janeway of the Federation Starship Voyager, who has once again been lost in the Delta Quadrant. Captain Janeway, who's usually more frigid than the ice planet Roropente, still maintains that she has 2 months ago, when we first brought you this breaking story, that she has no recollection of how the pregnancy occurred. Captain Janeway began experiencing complications with her half-human, half-holographic baby when the holographic parts began to disappear. Extra holographic buffers were installed in her uterus to help stabilize the fetus's hollow matrix. Starfleet doctors are still scratching their heads over this one.
See, she was getting freaky in the holodeck. That's what was going on.
Yeah,
she pulled up somebody from the holodeck and was like, "There you go." And I don't know how she got pregnant, but there we go.
Well, it's sure. Either gonna have to be one of the two people.
Yeah, either the doctor or
no,
the guy in the bar.
Yeah, Leo. Or no, Leonardo da Vinci.
It could be, or it could be the guy in the bar. Sullivan. Yeah.
Sullivan.
Could be Sullivan. My money's on Sullivan.
My money's on Sullivan, too.
Okay. The next story, the Federation Humane Society is drafting legislation for a new dangerous animal law. Pending voter approval, the Klingon tar will be added to the dangerous animals list. Prompting the law were the deaths of 3 Federation officers and 1 android after following a Targ attack. 3 phaser shots on heavy kill were required to bring the animal down. 14 others were also wounded in the attack.
Kapla!
Kapla!
That's the only thing I got to say on that one. Way to go, Targ!
Fire? Anything from you, Bar?
I could go for a fresh plate of gah.
Right about now.
You know what a Targ is, Bar?
No.
Okay. A Targ is a... Take a warthog, give it a little bit more horns, and make it about 3 times its size and ferocity, and that's a Targ.
Jeez.
And Klingons hunt these things. When you grow up to be a man and you're ready to take the rite of ascension, then you go and hunt this pig with nothing more than a spear and bring it home and feast on it.
Hey,
most
Klingon,
children will keep them for pets, believe
Klingons
it or
like,
not.
Klingons like barbecue, too.
Yes.
All right.
I'll go to a Klingon barbecue. If they hunt down warthogs and putting it on the barbecue, I'm with them.
And finally, on the crime beat... 3 packlets are being held by Federation security in what's being called the most successful robbery since the Jesse James era of the Wild Wild West. The 3 are accused of walking into the Federation's most secure Gold Press Latinum vault and robbing it of its contents. Security officers admitted to seeing the 3 enter, but never thought they'd be smart enough to pull off a robbery. Before they realized what was happening, they were already overpowered. The Latinum has never been recovered. And that was News from the Future. Check back often for more News from the Future.
I love when you do the news.
I've been laughing through the whole thing. Do you know what Packlet is, Byer?
No. Never hesitate.
Take a 5-year-old. And give it the technology we have today, and tell it to rule the United States.
Oh, Obama.
No, dumber.
Why'd you just
than
say Obama?
Because Obama's not a 5-year-old.
I'm sorry.
Hacklids are the dumbest race in the universe. They were throwing technology, but they don't know how to repair it. They don't know how to use it well.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They talk like they're make it go fast. Make it work. They would steal engineers. They would make their systems work so they would break down intentionally. So people who have engineers send an engineer on a way party would send them there, and then they would kidnap it. They would get some new technology from the people they were robbing from just to keep doing that again because they were too stupid to know how to fix it in the first place, much less know how to use it.
Here, listen to this.
So now you know why I'm sitting here laughing my butt off when he did that news announcement.
Okay, listen to this, Brian. Hold on.
We're Packlets. Our ship is the Mondor. It is broken. We are far from home. We need help. We want to be smart.
We look for things to make us go.
We need computer things.
We want what we want. We look for things we need.
Star Trek the Packlets. Oh my goodness. Okay, I could go for that. I just noticed, I was looking up for Packlets, and there apparently is a new Star Trek series, according to this guy. It's a spoof.
How do those people prevent from, like, flying into the sun already?
Oh my goodness, they are so funny. They take Geordi La Forge hostage until they finally give him some... What technology were they looking for, Brian? Do you remember?
Weapon technology.
Yeah, it was hilarious. So that's why that now it makes that story even more funnier, right?
It does.
Yeah, there's a saying in Starfleet. Klingons do not make good ship's counselors. No. Vulcans do not make good medical officers, and never have a Packlet for your chief engineer.
Oh man!
Oh, well, that was that. Now I do want to talk, Byer. Since you're here, you sent me an email. Time travel. And now it's time for the Tech Podcast Network segment of
the Tech of Trek,
where we take a look at a piece of futuristic Trek technology that we either use today or are being worked on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a very interesting a link about time travel. Well, I remember I was, you know, listening to the show and you guys were talking about time travel. And that's why I sent you the link. There is a doctor who I cannot remember his name at the moment, but he lost his father. When he was young, real young, he decided he wanted to learn how to, or he thought in his young, you know, age, he thought, well, if I could just go back in time, you know, I could see my dad again. So he ended up studying physics and all these other things, but he seriously was going after trying to, you know, learn how to figure out time travel. Well, what he has found out is that according to science at the moment, they say that there would be no way of going, say, back in time before a certain machine would be turned on. So if you turned on a time machine at this moment, that you would be able to travel back to the time of when the machine was actually turned on. You see? Mm-hmm. Now, their theory is if you take light, lasers basically, and make them turn in a corkscrew type motion, that the laser or the light would have the ability to actually bend space and time. So as soon as you turn it on, you would probably see flashes of things in the future of people trying to send information back to this time of when you turn the machine on. So I don't know. They haven't tried it yet, but be interesting to see what happens.
Well, what you're referring to is Deja Vu, the movie with Denzel Washington. Because that's basically what they did. They were able to go back and look in the into the past. And yeah, see, and then they actually had a machine that could teleport inanimate objects.
Right. This scientist is trying to do, he wants to send back atoms, basically. See if he can send back atoms from his, to himself. So if he turns on his machine, if I was sitting here right now and turned on this machine, that the future me could then send a message back to me, to that machine, at, you know, at that point. But I could not get into it. I seen that movie, the one that's when they kind of wrapped him up and then stuck him in the machine and sent him back. Now, did you see the previews for the other movie that's coming out? I can't remember the name of it. I saw it on YouTube. It was almost a carbon copy of that movie. But I have to find out who the scientist is, the one that's actually trying to do it for real. Did you find it, Lou?
No, I'm still looking.
But yeah, that's a very interesting subject.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. First Time Machine. It's the one where he's stirring the coffee. Yeah. Well, what you can do is if you go to YouTube and just type in Discovery, like the Discovery Channel, Discovery First Time Machine, and it'll go to the man who's stirring the coffee cup. He's the scientist that's actually trying to make this happen.
Okay. Well, then we'll put a link to that in the main page. All right. Well, then, is there anything else you guys have that you want to talk about?
Other than we're going to Dragon Con?
We're hoping to go to, you know, I hate to keep saying we're going to Dragon Con when we got a rejection letter, but I know that they're still working on it, and Cecil Davis, and that's one thing you and I need to get with. You and I need to create this Word document that he needs to send to Garrett Wong.
I've almost got it done, actually, Lou.
Oh, great. I thought we were going to work on that together.
What I'm going to do is that I'm going to pull inserts of our show. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send not only a Word document, but I'm going to send a sound document. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to also write the generic questions that we're going to ask the stars, universal questions, because we never ask a lot of personal questions. We like to talk more with them about what they've done and what they're planning on doing.
All right.
So I'm going to make sure the questions are aimed towards what we usually ask them. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to gear for our show, and then if they need another fill-in, what I'm going to do is gear into Fan Central, bring the fans of Fan Central that's going to be at Dragon Con over towards us, and we'll record a bunch of stuff for at Fan Central.
Yeah. By the way, great interview there.
Yeah.
Oh, Kim and
interview
Brian.
Interview the Fan
Kim.
Central stars there at Dragon Con, and then we'll take it back to Fan Central and let them play it on their show, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about Kim. Okay. Yeah, that was a pretty good
Kim.
That was a pretty good interview, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a great interview. And those two are really nice people.
Yeah.
And you guys did a good job. You was on there and did a great job. And I liked the interview, definitely.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that one. All right. Well, then, have we satisfied your every need?
As always.
Anytime you get more, all you got to do is just come back.
Yeah,
well, definitely wanted to be on the show, and I'm very excited about being on here with Brian Detamar.
Finally, yes. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Byers, let me ask you. I was talking about this at the beginning, and on BBTAS.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the drop-down link that says Awesome Shows, we got beat out by Steel City Resistance. What is that?
Steel City Resistance. That's a political show, actually. And the only reason that that's actually there on the top is because when I first started building those pages, that was the first page I started to build. And then your show, I was putting yours together, and it just kind of came out that way. You guys know definitely that... That the Lou Trek Show has definitely got a special place in my heart for sure.
Absolutely, and you know we're right there with you.
One of these days, Byer, when we get down towards Pittsburgh area, I might just have to stop in, knock on your door, and say, "Hey, let me jump in on your show for once."
I'm gonna knock on our door.
Gonna knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Well, the kisses are hers and hers and his.
We company too.
Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
People love of old space that needs your face. We company too.
You are most certainly welcome.
I'm not the most biggest tech geek welcome in the world, but I can semi hold my own against the best.
You would be fine. Look, yeah. You broke down the whole Star Trek launching off of a planet. I mean, you can hold your own.
I think you'd be just fine.
You did just fine.
But that's basic physics. Come on, I don't know the tech. Absolute. Lou,
that's okay.
Who micromanages my computer?
Me.
I have one of them team viewers that every time I need to update my Skype or update my Audacity or update anything else, Lou comes on through team viewer and updates my computer for
there
me.
He is.
The next thing I got to have him do is get all these WAV files that I've got all these save files from everything that I've done, put them someplace where I can get them off of my desktop so my computer will start running a little better now.
Okay.
That's my next one.
We will do that. All right. Now, Byron, the only thing you got to do is... I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was going to say I wanted to send some shout-outs.
Please do.
Well, definitely I have to say hello to Janet out there and Sherry, Mary, and Linda. It was very, very nice to hear of you, and I'm so glad that you enjoyed my voice. I hope that you liked it on this show as well. I wish you nothing but the best in life.
Who doesn't like your voice? Has anyone ever said to you, man, you got an ugly sounding voice, boy?
No, I haven't heard of that.
No, I haven't heard of that either. It's something he's working on.
Welcome to episode 7 of The Facelift, live interview with Brian Benson. Facebook, social media giant, millions of users. All of us have hundreds, if not thousands, of friends. But how often do you connect to them? I plan on going to everybody in my friends list and learning a little bit more about them.
And he likes to say that he got inspiration off of listening to us.
Definitely.
Listen to that.
I wonder when he's going to get down the list of you and me.
You know, one of these days, Byer, you've got to get me live video of your screen. You know, use Webcam Max, okay?
Okay.
And you even have a preview version. It just says, like, Webcam Max along the top until you pay for it. It's not a big deal. But I'd like to see when you get onto Audacity, because that's what you said you use, is Audacity, and you use these effects. Yep. I really would like to see how you use them, what settings you use, because some of those voices you do are just phenomenal.
Yeah, I do it all in Audacity. I love Audacity, absolute free program. Wow, you know, open source community rocks on.
Right. Okay, so remind everybody where you can be found.
Oh, you can find me at bbtas.com as well as on Facebook underneath Byer Brown. Matter of fact, if you just go to Google and you type in Byer Brown, more likely the first, 10 pages is all me. So just reach out to me, Twitter, wherever. If you have a problem going on or something that you want to talk about or a show or whatever, I'm down for anything. As long as it's legal, of course, but, you know, I'm just out to try to have some fun and just meet people, you know. Let's just get together and try to live life and have a good time doing it.
Hey, do you know what the Navy's doing right now?
The Navy. Oh.
Computer was ready for you, man. Computer was ready.
It's the running gag. I know you've listened to this show long enough to know that every time we do the Navy, we always have to do our...
Now, of course, that was done by computer, and computer talks.
Hello, Byer. My name is Computer. I've wanted to talk to you for a long, 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 long time.
It's very nice to meet you, computer. You got a better voice than I do.
Thank you.
By the way, thank you, computer. You're right on cue today.
I do my best.
Well, when you do well, I compliment you on it.
But you're always busting
right. No, don't say. Anyway, did you hear the show where the computer actually did an interview of the Enterprise computer? It was funny. Anyway.
No. Yes, it was.
You're going to have to look for that.
Yeah, I'm looking for that one.
90, was it 89? No, 89 is when we did our application for Dragon Con. So it had to be
I think 88, right.
87.
I'm not sure, but it was funny.
Somewhere in the late 80s to the 90s.
Yeah. Well, we're at 92 now, so.
Yeah, we're at 92, so.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to find it. So.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that one. That's for sure.
All right, well then. All right, well, hey, Byer, thank you very much for coming on.
No, yes, thank you for having me.
It was glad to meet you.
It was an absolute pleasure meeting you as well, sir.
All right.
And I didn't have to cough a lung out to enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah, man, I hope you're feeling better. I really do.
Oh, I am. It took me a couple months to dog this Klingon virus.
And I had
something. So you know what I did? I got smart. I gave it to my mother.
Oh, there you go.
What a nice guy.
What can I say? I'm going on.
Well, I wasn't feeling too well last week. I thought I was going to come down with bronchitis again, so we just ran the best of. And oh, Brian, you don't even know it. We ran the best of, and I redid show number 25, our time travel episode.
Oh, cool. I'll download it and play it tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. That was, show 91, I called sort of, so. All right, well, Byer, if you could tell me when to engage.
Please engage.
I want to thank everyone for downloading and listening to tonight's show, and thank our very special guest, Byer Brown, for being on. Remember, he could be found at www.bbtas.com or just Google Byer Brown, an amazing human being. God love you, and good night.
Kapla.